Hello, everyone. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Monday, April 1st. That's April Fool's Day. I'm Alan Chartok. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, an affiliate of Albany Med, with more than 20 locations across the greater Saratoga region. Saratoga Hospital, people you can trust, care you deserve. SaratogaHospital.org for information. Joining us today is Dr. Kevin Mitz of Berkshire Orthopedic Associates, an affiliate of Berkshire Health Systems. He's here to answer your questions about joint replacement and the latest advancements in associated robotic surgery. It's going to be a busy hour, so be sure to get your calls in. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Kevin Mitz, your calls all coming up on the Vox Pop right after this news. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Vox Pop. We have a terrific show for you here today. Dr. Kevin Mitz of Berkshire Health Systems joins us today to answer your questions about joint replacement and the latest advancements in associated robotic surgery. As a graduate of Humboldt State University and the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Maryland, Dr. Mitz served for 3 years as naval flight surgeon with the Marines, including a few overseas tours. He completed his residency in San Diego at the Naval Medical Center and moved for 3 years to Japan, where at the U.S. Naval Hospital in Okinawa, he was director of surgical services and really had a lot of sushi. He returns to the U.S. to complete his Navy career in Rhode Island. Dr. Mitz, an orthopedic surgeon, has been living in Berkshire County since 2001, and we are lucky to have him. Dr. Kevin Mitz, welcome to Medical Monday.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Was I right about the sushi?
A lot of sushi.
Boy, there's nothing like it.
Still love it.
And when you're in Japan, they sure know how to do it right.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Okay. So to join in today's conversation, give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So tell us a little bit about robotic surgery. You have, I've had it, but it's all the rage now, right?
Yes, it is.
Could you put that up a little closer?
Yes. I was at the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons a couple of weeks ago, and robotic surgery is definitely the rage. Every vendor is developing a new robot. In orthopedics, robotics is about guiding the surgeon. It's about putting things in properly. The surgeon physically still does the surgery, but sometimes the tools are connected to the robot, and so you will plan the surgery on a computer, essentially.
Right.
During the case, the patient's anatomy is connected to the computer either through the use of a preoperative CAT scan or through intraoperative registration. In any event, the machine, the saws and drills and things of that sort that we use are connected to the robot. And once you've planned where you want the implants to go, the robot guides your cuts.
Do you have a name for the robot? Does the robot have a name?
The one that's in use at Berkshire Medical Center is called Mako. M-A-K-O, Mako Robotic Arthroplasty.
And where's it made?
It's made by Stryker Orthopedics. It's made in the United States. In my understanding, it was developed in Pittsburgh.
And I know there's a famous robotic company from Israel that has been selling very expensive robots.
I'm not familiar with them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you have to retrain a lot in order to...
Yes, definitely. So a lot of training goes in, and certification and proctoring and things of that sort in order to become proficient.
What do you mean proctoring?
You have to be taught at courses. So first you train on cadavers, and then you train on people with supervising surgeons who are experienced in the robot.
Interesting. Okay, you ready for a call or two?
Yes.
We'll go to Jim in Matamoros for a change. Now, for those of you who don't know, Jim is always our first caller. He calls in quite a bit earlier, and then he comes on and he asks a question. All right, Jim, your turn. Go ahead.
Can suture materials such as chromic gut and proline be used with robotic surgery, or is it mostly all staples?
The answer, Jim, is yes. We can use any suture with robotic surgery that we would use with non-robotic surgery. Chromic gut isn't in great use in orthopedics these days, and proline sometimes is a suture that we'll use on the skin. But really, I don't know many doctors who use proline suture for routine orthopedic procedures. But the answer to your question is, yes, they can be. We can use any suture. We don't In fact, I think we're probably getting away from the days of stapling the skin in the majority of the cases.
Thank you, Jim. And now we'll go to Tim in Gardner. I want to remind everybody the telephone number, and now's the time to get in, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Tim in Gardner. All right, Tim, you're on.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Sure.
Pleasure hearing you. So I turned 60 this year. And however, I'm still very active and have two hips which have been diagnosed, you know, as for better or worse, arthritic because of lack of cartilage. That's because of decades and decades of playing basketball. One of the most vigorous games I had, of course, was in Great Barrington when I used to live there. I had a great game.
Are you tall?
So at this point, I'm sorry?
Are you tall?
No. You have to make up for it with skill and speed.
But wiry.
You know, okay, you know, because I don't like tall guys that much because I'm short. But go ahead.
Great game in Great Barrington with a lot of older folks, which I'm now becoming.
Where do they play,
so
Dan?
Here's my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to play again, right? But I do not, you know, I love the head of my femur. I can hop up and down on one foot. I can do a lot of things. But I can't cross my right leg because I have a bone spur. And I'm wondering about, you know, I like my femur. I like the head of my femur. It's working, you know, just fine, and I hate the idea of going in and doing, you know, catastrophic bone cutting and replacement. And I'm really hopeful that over the next few years I'll be able to do something with resurfacing of the head of the femur and stem cell. And I'm wondering if that's something that you have any experience with.
That's a great question, Tim. Hip resurfacing has seen a few iterations over the last 20 to 30 years, the most recent of which was, and is still being used in limited areas, but was involved metal-on-metal hip articulations, and so a metal resurfacing of the ball with a metal socket. And those...
Yeah, and I hate the idea of that because of the potential of, you know, heavy metal toxicity.
Not necessarily that, but they would develop local adverse tissue reactions from the ions from the metal and failed. And so that's fallen out of favor largely. And so right now, hip resurfacing has fallen out of favor once again. As far as stem cells go, I think there are probably some things on the horizon. There are a lot of studies, but there's not a lot of high-level, high-quality evidence showing that it's useful in humans. It's being done and performed widely. It's not covered by insurance, and it's generally very expensive, usually on the order of at least a couple thousand dollars per injection. But again, there's not scientific evidence really supporting it. It's not harmful, but
so at this point, this point, you feel like the stem cell procedure is not able yet to regenerate cartilage.
That's right. It's not ready for prime time just yet.
Neither am I, so maybe that would work.
Yeah.
Well, good luck on that basketball. If I were you, I'd read a book rather than play basketball. It's better that way.
I'll read a book about basketball.
That's a great idea.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 1-800-348-2551. You got a chance to get in here. I'll ask the next question, and then we'll be off to a little breaklet. Okay, Doc, tell me how you can diagnose a hip, bad hip versus a bad back.
That's a good question from somebody who knows, and an answer from somebody who knows too. And it's a frequent problem because in our elderly patients, or as we age, we get arthritis in our hip and in our back, and sometimes it's quite hard to diagnose. Frequently, what we'll do is, you know, imaging studies like simple X-rays first. Nothing. I had a professor who said, you know, when all else fails, examine the patient. So a good physical examination can frequently differentiate the two. And if we're still at a loss, we'll do a diagnostic injection. We'll inject just Novocaine into the hip joint under ultrasound or fluoroscopic guidance. And if the pain is alleviated, then we can safely say that the pain is coming from the hip joint rather than the back.
But position-wise, I've been told that you would know a hip problem if you reached around sort of to the front as opposed to the back. Is that wrong?
Hip arthritis patients frequently have groin pain and thigh pain.
Yes.
Yes, and not so much with back. That's correct.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back to Jamie in Altamont. So take a short break, Zach. We are back, and we are delighted that you are with us. Okay, as promised, Jamie in Altamont, you're on.
Good afternoon. I just overheard a little bit about the, I believe it was PRP injections, the platelet injections for cartilage problems. I'm a weightlifter, but I'm a master's. I'm just turned 50. And an orthopedist, I have major shoulder, you know, not major shoulder, but just shoulder problems, shoulder pain. And the MRI and the X-ray, he said, well, you've got arthritis and bone spurs. You need to stop weightlifting. Just wondering what my other what other options might be, if it's worth my while to have the bone spurs removed, or, you know, what the what can be done.
Hi, Jamie. First, we were discussing stem cell injections, which are a little bit different than PRP. And PRP, I think, may have some wider applications in orthopedics than stem cells at this point. But discussing your shoulder bone spurs, especially in weightlifters or athletes, frequently will strengthen the large muscles of the shoulder and neglect the smaller rotator cuff muscles, which are a deep layer of muscles. And so the first line of therapy for people who are having, even in the presence of bone spurs, the first line of treatment is usually a good physical therapy regimen, plus or minus an injection in your shoulder to quiet down the inflammation. And sometimes with a series of injections over time, and physical therapy trying to strengthen specifically the rotator cuff muscles, which is not an intuitive regimen. Frequently, we're successful in getting rid of shoulder pain with that. But if that doesn't work, sometimes people do move on to requiring arthroscopy with bone spur excision.
Well, Doc, wouldn't he be better off just reading a book about lifting, you know, heavy weights?
I think reading is always a good first choice, especially for master's athletes.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jamie. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. And now on to Donna in Averill Park. Donna in Averill Park, you're on. Donna?
Hello, and thank you so much for giving us your time to answer our questions. Several years ago, I was told that I was a candidate for surgery on the CMC thumb joint, and I've been putting it off because they say the recovery is kind of lengthy. I've recently seen two different surgeons. Both agree I need the surgery, but they're both talking about different procedures. So I'm not knowledgeable enough to try to make a decision as to which procedure is more appropriate. I'm wondering, is there a procedure out there that is more successful than other procedures? And am I doing serious damage by keep putting it off?
Hi, Donna. That's a great question. To Alan's point, you may try reading a book on thumbs, but beyond that, they're the most common and I think tried and true procedures at this point involve resecting the bone, one of the bones at the CMC joint.
What does resecting mean?
Taking it out, okay. Removing the small bone that rubs against the base of the thumb, and then sometimes putting a little cushion in the space or doing various other reconstructions to hold the thumb in place after that. Those are common procedures. They're safe procedures, first described in the early 70s, and have stood the test of time. The recovery from something like that, a full recovery, is generally about 3 months with about a month to 6 weeks of casting with some therapy thereafter. So 3 month recovery to be back to pretty normal activity.
Do you guys have a handman in your practice, somebody who majors in hands?
We do, yes. We have Dr. Goodrich, and he performs this surgery frequently and commonly. And it is the most widely performed surgery for this condition.
And when your hand sort of, when your thumb sort of gets, I don't know, begins, right. You're making the, but they can't hear it on the radio.
Yes, I have it myself.
I have it too.
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't fool around with it until you really have to, right?
That's correct. Right. But people do reach the end of the rope where the conservative therapies haven't worked anymore. And as I said, it's common surgery and it's safe and proven. And it stands the test of time.
And Donna, how are you doing? I think Donna.
Well, I put it off for 3 years, and I'm getting to the point where I think I have to face the reality of having the surgery.
Well, good luck on it. Good luck over there in Averill Park. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And now on to 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and Nora in Troy. Nora in Troy, you're on.
Good afternoon. I wanted to know if you're someone in your early 60s and very active both
employment-wise and recreational activities, and you're putting off a shoulder replacement or a knee replacement, are those surgeries that can be done twice, or do they put them off because you can only have it once in your life? What's the school of thought in terms of waiting till you just can't stand it any longer with the pain and then you have the replacement? I was just wondering what the current thought was.
Hi, Nora. I think your question really is, how long will it last you if you have it done, and will you have to have it again? The answer is the median age for knee replacement surgery is right around 64. It means that half the people are younger and half the people are older. For hips, it might be 64, 65. The knees have a 9 out of 10 chance lasting for 20 years. In hips, it might be a little bit longer than that. So between 8.5 to 9 patients 20 years later will still be okay with their knee replacements. So at your age, in your early 60s, when you're in your early 80s, there's a 90% chance your knee is still functioning well. Some of those knees will wear out, and they will have to be re-replaced, and we call that a revision surgery. Those are technically more demanding, and they have a slightly higher complication rate, and function does tend to decline after a revision surgery. But again, there is a chance at your age that you would take that joint through the rest of your life.
Is there a time when you would be too old to get knee surgery?
That really depends on your health. That's right. A very good question, and we frequently see patients who are in their mid to late 80s. Sometimes they're not sure if they have heart disease or other serious medical conditions. Sometimes they would not be a candidate. But it's frequent that we do patients even into their late 80s and early 90s if they're healthy.
Do you do knees?
Yes, I do.
You know, because Charlie Kenny, my old friend, you know what
the knee MD.
That's on his front of his car.
Yes, I do. I do about half knees.
Is it substantially different with a shoulder replacement?
Shoulder replacements are becoming much more frequent, and we have a shoulder specialist in our group, and they're easier to recover from. And I would say that the longevity of a shoulder that's done properly should be probably the same.
And where does PT play into all of this?
I think PT for the shoulder and the knee replacements is critical. For hips, not so much. Uh-huh. But for shoulders and knees, I think the physical therapy will help you have a better outcome.
So, Gail, Nora, anything else you want to ask?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, and now on to Gail in Oneonta. All right, Gail in Oneonta, you're on. Go.
Thank you. I want to know if you can have osteoarthritis in your hands, but it really looks like rheumatoid arthritis.
That's a good question, Gail. I think that we see patients who have destructive osteoarthritis in their hands, and what that means is it's just not their typical looking osteoarthritis hand or older person's hand, but rather they develop deformities in their hands like a rheumatoid, yet they don't test positive for rheumatoid disease, and so they're not treated with the medications that a rheumatoid would be treated with. I think the answer to your question is
the only way you can check on it being rheumatoid is through blood work.
That's correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you. All right. 1-800-348-2551. Now's your chance. 1-800-348-2551. Susan in Ackard, where everybody drives a foreign car and likes each other. Go ahead.
Hello. I was just diagnosed with a 9-millimeter osteochondral defect of the talar dome. Basically, I have a dent in my ankle bone. And I'm curious about what would happen if I don't treat it. I'm fairly active. I do a lot of dancing. And what are the treatments?
Hi, Susan. I want to ask some questions. Do you have pain from your OCD?
I have minimal pain when I walk, and if I go on a hike or after a dance class, it's more painful.
And do you know if the defect is on the inboard side or the up? Is it medial or lateral talar dome?
Medial. Medial, however, the pain is really on both. I have pain on both sides.
So sometimes go ahead.
It happened when I had a sprained ankle, but I think the sprained part is probably cleared up by now.
The treatment algorithm for osteochondritis or osteochondral defects is dependent upon symptoms, but also upon the MRI appearance of the lesion. And on the medial talar dome, some of those are considered to perhaps be congenital. And so it may have been there for some time, and you've injured your ankle, and they've just happened to see this based upon your x-ray. But the MRI treatment, I mean, the MRI appearance as well as your symptoms dictate treatment. And so if you're having symptoms that are due to this, frequently we will do symptoms or surgery, but that can be a pretty big deal.
Right. So if I don't treat it, I mean, I'm pretty sure this wasn't with me my whole life because I've been dancing my whole life. I'm 68, and I never had this pain before, and it just came with the sprain.
So if you were my patient and you decided that you didn't want to treat it, which would not be an unusual scenario, I would ask you just to continue to follow on with screening radio x-rays. Just follow up periodically, and if your symptoms were to progress or get worse, or if the x-rays showed progression, then it may force your hand to have something done.
Okay, Susan.
I see.
Thank you. All right, now let's go to Diane in Diane in Cairo. All right, Diane, you're there. Hi, Diane.
Hello there.
You're on.
Hi.
I just wanted to say to the people that call in about having it done and not having it done and waiting, I just had both my knees done this past year, one at a time, at 60 years old, and I wish I never waited. To the woman who said, should she wait till the pain gets so bad? My advice is don't wait till the pain gets so bad because you'll be able to do so much more after it's done.
What do you think, Doc?
Thank you for saying that, Diane. I think that we do tend to be more aggressive with joint replacement surgery because we're better at it. The materials are better and the implants last longer, but largely the knees last longer because we're better at putting them in using robotic techniques and other techniques. And we do tend to do surgery on younger and younger people for that reason. We're also better at controlling pain and speeding recovery. So I think, to your point, it's frequent that people wish that they had the surgery done sooner.
Okay, thanks for that great call. Appreciate it. All right. Our guest is Dr. Kevin Mitz of Berkshire Health Systems, and he's here to talk about joint replacement and latest advancements in associated robotic surgery. We'll go to Vince in Montgomery. All right, Vince, you're on.
I had one hip replacement about 8 years ago. I'm 68 now. And I had to have a revision because it was a metal on metal. And that was done probably 3-4 years ago. And I am still in absolute dire pain. But it's from the groin muscles. So what do you do? I mean, you can't go in and have it done again. I don't believe it's the joint itself, but it's the muscles which you just keep pulling apart every time you do it.
Jim, was your hip one of the recalled hips?
Yes, it was.
I'm sorry, Vince. Yeah.
Yep.
And when the doctor did your surgery, did he encounter damage of the soft tissues around your hip?
Not that I was aware of. No.
Because frequently those hips would generate metal ions that could cause local soft tissue reactions that could be painful and sometimes even destructive of local muscles. And some patients are left with pain after their revisions from that surgery. But if I did a hip...
No, after the revision, I was good for, maybe a year or so, but it just, the muscles, lifting your leg, getting into the car, going upstairs, that sort of thing.
Right. That's a common complaint of hip replacement patients, and it's felt to be perhaps some muscle impingement on the front part of the hip, particularly the hip flexor muscles there. And we see that commonly in practice if you do enough hip replacements. Sometimes we'll do a series of injections there under fluoroscopic guidance. And sometimes even the first injection won't get rid of it completely, but usually with two or three, it will. And if that fails and that is your diagnosis, it sometimes responds to, minor surgery, doing some muscle trimming.
They could be moved around or
sometimes,
or
yes.
Set in different posts.
Yes.
And the steroid injection is basically, that is what you talked about just a second ago?
Yes, sir. We do that right into the tendon sheath there. It's done under fluoroscopic guidance, and it's safe to perform in most patients.
Yeah.
Vince, got to let you go. A lot of people behind you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now on to Judith in Dalton, Massachusetts, right in your neighborhood, Doc. Judith in Dalton, go ahead.
My daughter lives in Alaska. She fell and hurt her shoulder a year ago. And it's always painful at the upper part of her arm, and they said she had a frozen shoulder. But, you know, it's getting a little better, but does that take a long time to recuperate from?
Yep. Hi,
Judith. Do you know what a frozen shoulder means?
Yes, I do. Yeah. We call it the fancy name because we can charge more for it. We call it adhesive capsulitis. And basically it means frozen shoulder. And it can happen after trauma or injury. And sometimes it just happens out of the blue. It's more common in diabetics. And it's a little bit more common in women than in men. And we treat it with aggressive physical therapy. Mm. And of course, as I've said for everything, we have an injection, you know. We have an injection for everything. But we'll usually give somebody 6 to 12 months of conservative management before we consider doing some procedure on their shoulder to help with a frozen shoulder.
Well, I had it. I went to my friends at Repshire Associates over here, and they worked with me, and, you know, they got it better.
It can take some time, but in patients, it usually does work without surgery.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Is the pain in the upper part of your arm, that's a familiar pain from the shoulder?
Yes, it is. It's usually related to your rotator cuff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so now we have just enough time for one more call before we have to go to break, and we'll take that from Mike in Brimfield. Mike in Brimfield, your turn. Go.
So I actually have two questions, the first of which is I had bilateral knee replacement 8 years ago. I'm 62. They did not do anything with my kneecaps at the time because I'm a painter and I needed to kneel. And he said if they did the normal surgery on the kneecap, I would not be able to kneel the rest of my life. Now I'm getting to the point where my kneecaps have had it. And he told me they were going to wear out. And now it's time to go in for the knee surgery. And I'm wondering with the newer knee surgeries and kneecap surgeries where they put the plastic cup in the back to ride on the cobalt, will I be able to kneel again?
It's not predictable, Mike, because frequently the normal knee replacements can have discomfort kneeling, and it's not something that is predictable. But if you are able to kneel comfortably, it would probably be between 6 and 12 months from the replacement.
Mike, question two.
Okay.
When
I had the surgery done, they said that I would break the kneecaps if I knelt on them.
Yeah, that is not accurate. We think it's safe to kneel on modern knee replacements, even if you've had your kneecap replaced. And I tell patients that they could walk home on their knees, but they're uncomfortable to do so. But it's safe to kneel on your knees after a knee replacement.
Is there a second question?
Okay, and my second question, I have a slight tear in my rotator cuff. Is there anything I can do for that?
Mike, at your age and with your occupation, that tear will probably progress. It's okay to try to treat it conservatively at first, but most patients who are 60 years old, especially if you're an overhead performer or athlete or painter, that tear will probably get large and it can become debilitating for you. I think most doctors would recommend repair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so we have to take a break now, and then we'll be right back. We have Jim and Mark on the phone, and then it's all yours, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Zachary, take it away. And we are back. Thank you, Zachary. It's always very nice of you to get us back here. We appreciate it. And now we'll go to Jim in Boston Spa. Jim in Boston Spa, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm 75 years old, and a year ago I developed severe back pain caused by stenosis. And since then I've had three spinal injections, and each one is becoming less and less effective.
Exactly.
I was told to stop skiing, downhill skiing, after 55 years. I can't do that anymore. I was told kayaking's probably out because of the twisting motion and so on. And I asked if there was any alternative to the injections, and I was told the injections were the only thing that could be done. Is that correct?
Well, Jim, I think you have two sympathetic listeners here because both Alan and I have had back issues, I think, and and I've had back surgery. I can tell you that if spinal stenosis, I see a lot in my practice. I'm not a spine surgeon, but I see a lot of it in my practice because it's common in my patient population. And so I take patients through the treatment algorithm. And it sounds like you've done everything that you can do. If you've done some physical therapy, you've taken some anti-inflammatories, you've tried the injections. If you have severe spinal stenosis that is recalcitrant or that persists despite all of those treatments, you might consider surgery. And I would anticipate that a patient like you would be able to have spinal stenosis surgery and return to the activities that you want to do.
Because I asked that, and he said, well, not for you, but he didn't explain why.
I would
he just said that my discs were touching.
I don't think that that would be an unreasonable thing to expect, that you could have that addressed and return to the activities that you would like to do.
So, Dr. Kevin, let me ask you a question here. Don't you, isn't part of this business with the three shots, and we all understand exactly what you were saying. First one, yeah, maybe a little. Mm-hmm. Second one, not so much. And third one, forget about it. Isn't that an insurance company issue that they want you to do that before they do the surgery?
I think frequently they do, but I think there are also responders. But the thing that I tell patients, similar to arthritis, you know, spinal stenosis is a degenerative condition. You reach a point where the condition is worse than the shot can cure.
Sure.
And
I
so
get it.
It just progresses, and then it just won't work, and then you have to do something else.
Okay.
If I could just ask one further question,
okay,
about that.
Go ahead.
I asked about that, and what my first fell of the back pain a year ago, I was referred directly to the pain specialist at the orthopedic practice. I didn't see the orthopedic surgeon. I wonder if I'd get a different diagnosis from the surgeon rather than the pain specialist.
You might not get a different diagnosis, but you might get a different opinion. And it may be that that's what you need. Again, the caveat being I'm not a spine surgeon, but I certainly see a lot of back problems. So,
Jim, thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Okay, now we've got to move a little bit because they're coming in now. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to go to Mark in Deerfield, Massachusetts. Mark, go.
Thank you, doctors. Thank you for taking my call, Alan. My question regards pain medication. My dad has very, very severe arthritis. He can barely get through an hour's sleep at night because of it. And they've tried, you know, various things, but with the opioid problem, they're cutting back on everything with pain medications now. And he's down in Florida. I'm trying to come up with some answers that might help. Can you recommend anything that might be an alternative to some of the severe opioids that might relieve some of his pain, especially at night?
That's a timely and great question, Mark. We do not treat arthritis with opioids, period, because we mm-hmm. cause then chronic pain patients. We have treatment algorithms for knee arthritis. It starts with simple treatments, progresses through simple medications, through injections and physical therapy, sometimes bracing, and then, you know, the end game is surgery. But certainly
does physical therapy sometimes aggravate the arthritis, or is it better?
For knee arthritis, it's very beneficial. Hip arthritis, I'm not fully convinced, but certainly knee arthritis patients don't expect to get better, but they do with physical therapy.
His is more systemic throughout his body, so it's
so activity is good, and the therapy may be beneficial just because it'll make him more active.
So when you operate on arthritis, Dr. Mintz, when you operate on arthritis, what do? You can't take the arthritis out of the body, can you?
No, that's essentially what a joint replacement is.
I see.
It's like putting a crown on a tooth. You're resurfacing the end of the bone, so you're recreating a new artificial joint surface.
And that's what arthritis is.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Mark.
One quick follow-up, doctor. Have you heard of any relief coming from some of these new legal THC products that are available in the Massachusetts area?
Only anecdotally. Yeah. Only anecdotally, okay. And I can only tell you what my patients have done, and I do have some patients who think that they get benefit from them, and some who do not.
Thank you, doctor.
Get there early.
Thank you, doctor.
I passed that place, boy. Mine's around the block. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and Harold in Poughkeepsie, Poughtown. You're on, Harold.
Hello, how do you do?
Hi, Harold.
I think part of my question was just answered. On last week, I was walking on a knee that I've had fluid drained off of a couple of times, and it just gave out on me. I went down, and it suddenly got more and more swollen. Finally went to the doctor. He drained off 60 milligrams of fluid and gave me, I think it was Synvisc or some kind of a shot into it. He says, my next stop would be knee replacement surgery. And I was calling to find out if there would be an alternative to that. And I think you just gave it with the possibility that physical therapy may help it.
I think people do obtain, if you just had Synvisc last week or within the past couple of weeks, stand by. It may still benefit you. Sometimes it can take a little while to kick in, 3 or 4 weeks. But I think physical therapy is, you want to try everything you can before these major surgeries. And I think physical therapy is a good choice.
Thanks a lot, Harold.
Right.
We have the wonderful Dr. Kevin Mitz of Berkshire Health Systems with us today. And as you can hear, he's terrific. He tells it like it is. Okay, now let's go to David in Beckett, Massachusetts. David in Beckett, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good, David.
Are you there?
Yes.
He's here.
Hello.
Hello, David.
He's here. David, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, go ahead and answer.
I'm from Beckett.
Yeah, where everybody dances.
And, I'm pretty active. I'm 68 years old. 3 years ago, I fell flat on my back on the ice here in Beckett and went to see the doctor, and he told me I had a partial rotator cuff tear. And I went through all the physical therapy, and I think I'm doing well right now. Except the last couple of weeks, I've noticed just before I get up in the morning, I feel an ache down my arm, not like I've felt before. And when I get up, I do some exercises, and through the day, I do exercises here and there, and then it subsides and goes away. But I can still lift. I can lift my arm up over my head now without any problem. In fact, I'm making maple syrup right now, so I'm loading slab wood into an evaporator.
We'll be right
over. Without any problem. It's just that aching that I get in the morning. This has come the last 2 weeks.
I think it's probably still too early to say whether or not this will be a lasting problem. If you're 2 weeks into it, I might consider observing it for a little longer, David. But if the problem persists, sometimes we'll repeat imaging because these tears can sometimes progress, and you don't want to be caught with something that perhaps you've missed and has become too big to repair.
Right. I had an X-ray at the time. And by the way, they were very good in Pittsfield as far as physical therapy. I learned a lot from them.
Right.
And I'll continue to do that, and I'll keep an eye on it.
I think that's prudent.
David, thank you very much. All right. Now let's go to Evelyn in Kingston. Evelyn in Kingston, you're on.
Hi. You hear me?
We do.
Okay, great. My husband has arthritis in his ankle, and it's bone on bone. Can you discuss the difference between ankle replacement, if it's available, and ankle fusion?
Yes, I'm not a foot and ankle specialist, Evelyn, so I do want to tell you that, and I don't play one in the movies either. But I can tell you that ankle fusion is where the two bones are fused together and you're left with no motion. Ankle replacement is like a knee replacement for the ankle where you go in and put implants in there. So the complication rate may be slightly higher in some patients with ankle replacement. And some patients are not a candidate for ankle replacement based upon their health and based upon their age. Those patients who are not then will just have the fusion with the goal being just one surgery and not having something that might fail and go on to need another.
Does the fusion get rid of the pain?
Yes, it absolutely does. If it's
so he could walk with a limp, but it won't be painful limp.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you, Thanks. Evelyn.
Thank you.
Okay, and now we go to Barbara in Northampton. Okay, I love Northampton. You're on, Barbara.
Hello, doctor.
Hi, Barbara.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm losing my voice a little, so I'll try not to talk too much. I was a gymnast all through high school and college, the horse and trampoline. But I had severe osteoarthritis and only one knee. And I am now 64. One knee was severely affected. And I was bone on bone for a number of years, but I could walk for a long time. And the doctors were amazed that I could walk at all. I did have knee surgery in Boston. I can't believe how wonderful it is, and I'm back to playing tennis, horseback riding, do all the things I love. but I see there's a tremendous imbalance between my knee replacement and my other knee, which seems to have not been affected by osteoarthritis at all. And I'd like to ask you, would it have been better to have replaced both knees?
I'm glad to hear that you're doing well after your knee replacement, Barbara, and that you've been able to return to your normal activities, because that's what our goal of the surgery is. The question is no. We would not, if your other knee is not symptomatic, we would certainly not recommend replacement. And sometimes the knee replacement will change your alignment a little bit. And so people can feel a little bit crooked, but that's better than the pain that they were having before the surgery. But certainly to
The pain is so gone that I've actually had two injuries due to overexertion, you know, muscle, playing tennis, I pulled muscles, et cetera.
That's fantastic.
But I feel like I have a pound of steel in one knee. And the other knee, I have recently started CrossFit, exercise.
Yes.
And I really notice a severe difference, you know, both.
Be careful with that. Be careful with that. But I do tell that, you know, that is brings up the point that I tell my patients before I do their knee replacement, it will be pain-free. It will not feel normal. They can feel heavy. They can feel mechanical. They can make noise and clunk and clunk. But they just allow you to do what you want to do with no pain.
Barbara, we're going to have to leave you there. Now, let me tell you all, we're coming to the end of the show. At 2:58, we're out. And that gives us about 6 minutes. So, Doc and people on the phone, keep it short, okay? And give everybody else a chance. Okay, so now we're going to go to Beverly in Latham. Okay, Bev, keep it short. Go ahead.
Okay. I was in a car accident, and I tore my rotator cuff, MRI, 68% ripped. I'm a poor wound healer, and I'm 69, and I always have complications with any surgeries and blood levels, you know, I'm a diabetic, and, you know, I always have to take insulin, even though I don't regularly do it. And my two questions is, one, if I did not have surgery, will it ever heal? And number two, if I have surgery, I'm told it would be very brutal, and I still might have pain, if that's true, afterwards, and I still might not be able to have the movement I had before.
Okay, here we go. Here's the answer.
So to answer your question, Barbara, if your diabetes is poorly controlled, it sounds like you are not a good surgical candidate, and you could potentially have complications that could make you worse, and we would probably try to maximize your conservative treatment with other modalities.
Thank you, Beverly. Okay, we're going to now Victor in Saugerties. Victor in Saugerties, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be short. I had knee surgery revision about 4.5 weeks ago, and the doctor told me there was some bone formation, like in the muscle, that made the surgery a little more complicated. It's called heterotrophic ossification.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, is there anything I can do to prevent that from happening again?
Patients,
whatever it is or how it's caused.
Patients who form that heterotrophic ossification sometimes will do a strong anti-inflammatory at the time of the surgery, and sometimes even a single dose of radiation to help prevent recurrence.
Right, I did that, yep.
Yes, mm-hmm. That should work.
Oh, hopefully. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sorry. Victor. Okay, and now on to Tim in Boston Spa. We're making good headway here. Tim, go ahead.
Yes, I recently had carpal tunnel surgery on my right wrist. I was given the option of doing it under a local, and because I could come and go. When they did it, they went in through an incision in the palm, reached up with a fork-like device, and hurt like hell. They shoved it up in there and cut the carpal tunnel. I've since seen procedures online where they make an open incision under general anesthesia, and it's a very precise, you know, particularly careful piece of surgery.
Is there a
and
question,
I,
sir?
I have arthritis in my little finger. My dexterity, everything in my right hand is not as good as it was. Is the local anesthetic procedure good?
Yes, Jim. Yes, Tim. We commonly perform carpal tunnel surgery under local anesthetic, and there are many methods, and I think that one is not necessarily better than another.
All right. Okay, and now on to Susan in Conway. Susan in Conway, make it short. We're running out of time here. Go ahead.
Okay, so I have spinal stenosis, and I had severe pain that was alleviated when I bent over, and that was a couple of years ago. And I had a couple of injections, and that seemed to take care of it. And talked to a surgeon and recommended perhaps surgery, but I tried to avoid that, and since the pain went away, I was fine. And now there has been pain that has come back. It's not the same pain. It isn't relieved by my bending over, and I'm wondering if it's possible that this is just something different, or I know you're not a spine surgeon, but I just wondered if you had a comment.
Yes. Hi, Susan. I think that if you were my patient and you had a different pain that was not radiating down your legs and it was a new onset, I would probably recommend some conservative treatment in the form of physical therapy.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. Okay, so I have to read Lisa's to you because we don't have time to pick up the phone, which is has a knee problem and wants to know about ACL versus total.
Pretty simple, Lisa. If depending upon your age, if you're mid to late 50s or older and you have arthritis, probably ACL is not the answer.
And ACL is what?
Anterior cruciate ligament reconstruction.
Okay.
But rather, we would treat you in the arthritis algorithm, if you will, which eventually would lead to knee replacement.
So that is it. We are out of time. Thanks to our wonderful friend, Dr. Kevin Mitz of Berkshire Health Systems, for joining us today. I want to thank everyone who called in. Support for Medical Monday comes from Gomez Neurology, Albany, New York. Medical neurologist offering scrambler pain therapy. Non-invasive and non-drug pain relief therapy welcomes Dr. Lori Garten to the practice. GomezNeurology.com for information. Thanks again for joining us, everybody, on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Joe Makowitz. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.